Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's been a blessing to be here already, and appreciated the songs, and thank you for sharing some of those experiences in Bolivia. Know that God is more than able to work in every area of all them lives and situations, and it's a blessing to hear of some of that work there. Appreciated what you said about when our will becomes the will of God, and that doesn't sound real complicated, does it? It doesn't sound like a confusing message, and I believe that's the heart of God. So this morning, I'd like to just read a short parable here in Matthew 25 about the ten virgins there that we read about in that parable. And there's a few different things that we'll draw from that, but the biggest thing that I gathered from that, the overall message I received from that is to watch. For you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So I have these few thoughts titled as Be Ready and Watch. Before we go too far, I'd like to say a little bit on, and this goes back to we said about when our will becomes the will of God, and the simplicity in that, yet it's a lifelong progress. It's a lifelong thing to strive for. And I believe that's the difference between those that are striving for that and those that aren't. It's not if they've accomplished, but the ones that are striving for it. But anyways, in 2 Corinthians 11:2, says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And in Ephesians 5:27, "That he, Christ, might present it," the church, "to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." But then going on in verse 3 in Corinthians 11 there, 2 Corinthians 11, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And those thoughts came to me, those words came to me when I was thinking on the first verse of this, of chapter 1, the first part of this verse. But sometimes the gospel can it be complicated to us sometimes? Have we been affected by the serpent's subtlety? And this isn't my message, but I did think of it, because when we think of what we have here, the Word of God, and then Jesus' teachings here, and the first part of that verse 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto." And what a privilege that we have. You know, I was picturing two people. I was picturing someone that never heard anything about the kingdom of God, and just saying, "What is this like? Tell me a little bit. What is the kingdom of heaven like?" And we have much scripture here that gives us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Matthew 13:24 says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. Verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. 44, so Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Verse 47 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Matthew 20, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. 22, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his sons. And that's only a few of them, but in Matthew there's so much, in the rest of the Gospels there's two. Just what the kingdom of heaven is like. And each one of these that I just read, some of them might talk about, have the same message behind it, but just in a different way. But there's a lot, there's a bunch of different messages in each one of these of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And what a blessing that we have, that we can, and it's broken down to us in a parable that we can get it. It's not just for the wise. It's made that anyone can understand. So just wanted to acknowledge that, and we have so much to thank God for in having His Word, and that we can go in and we don't have to wonder and assume and on what these things are about, but we have it here to read, and it's Christ's own messages to us. So, anyways, to go on here, I'll maybe read through it here quick, and then we'll come back through. Starting verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And as I prepared this, there's a few times I thought, well, we everyone knows these scriptures very well, and I had to question myself at times, what is there in here that we don't already know? And I know there is nothing, but I come to realize there is nothing here that we may not know already. But it's a reminder for us to prepare ourselves to be ready, because there is a day coming when it will be forever too late for those that are not prepared. So in verse 1, this was not an unusual custom where the bridegroom came late at night to meet the bride. There was a time I used to maybe have a little sympathy on those 5 that didn't take oil, thinking they just didn't know it was going to take so long or whatever it might be. But they knew full and well that the bridegroom could have come in the lateness of the hour. That was not an unusual custom. And then it just, so many of these things compared it with my own life, and I thought, so it is with us. We know, and that's why we're being reminded today again through these scriptures that He can come anytime. There will be no excuse for us to think that we didn't know. Verse 2, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Why half and half? Is this as we think of, as Jesus laid that out, what he said, half were wise and half were foolish. Is there any significance in this? Is this really how it's going to be? Half saved and half lost? But then my mind went to Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. There it says, many will seek and not be able to. And then Matthew 7:14, it says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So when he says half of them were wise and half of them were foolish as they came to that great day, it caused me to meditate on it's not all those that say, Lord, Lord. 25:3-4, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And there could be so much talked on that, what those foolish were like. The picture that I seen the first picture that I seen was just the hypocrisy in their lives. They wanted to look right and be with the right people, but inside they had no substance. There was nothing inside to keep them going. And so we see later that manifested itself. And we will never be able to. We can fool man in this life as appearance on the outside and the things that we do and say. But there's a day coming when the inside will be revealed. Sometimes it's even in this life when we start becoming who we really are. And there are and I believe there's times that won't be manifested until the last day. Matthew 23:28 talks a little bit about that. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And that's after a list of bunch of men's bunch of sins and just the fallen man as a whole. But yet there was some form of godliness there. But there was no power there. The power of God was not there in their lives to overcome those things. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And I would say they had no intentions of falling asleep. It says they slumbered and then slept. That can be a picture of our life. We just start the slumbering, and then in a few short time, maybe it's months, maybe it's years, whatever it may take, but if that slumbering is there, eventually we'll finally fall asleep. And I thought to let us have our guards up that we catch it if we're just slumbering a little. And it's so easy. I think sometimes if we just examine ourselves, it's so easy to. Well, when we examine ourselves, it's not hard to think that we are not where we should be, maybe, you know, or that we want to strive for higher grounds and strive for perfection and whatever it may be. So let's recognize that and let's push forward. Let's strive harder. Have a greater longing for Christ in our lives and His will being lived out in our lives. Because if we sit in that place, I think we will soon fall asleep. And then at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And so here it was, the hour came, and that's how it'll be for us someday. Mark 13:33-37, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a king taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all to watch. And I know this is referring to the return of Christ, but we're all just a breath away from death. Once our body passes away, it'll be like a split second that Christ will come. So the importance of being ready at any moment just can't be emphasized enough, because I realize sometimes we think, well, some of these things maybe haven't been all fulfilled as before Christ will come. I don't know where to put all that, but my point is we're nobody's promised tomorrow. That made me look into what some of these statistics says on it. I found that on that average day, just between vehicle accidents and falling deaths, it's the two most common unexpected accidental deaths. This is just in America. There's 230 people that die every day. So that's 230 people today and 230 people tomorrow, 230 people the next day, and on it can go. But that is the average over a year's time. And if it's almost double that if you include all the other accidental deaths. Comes to a little over 20 people every hour that die, that most likely got up in the morning and put their shoes on and had no idea that this was going to be their last time, their last day. I might have made mention of that before. Times when I put my shoes on, I make that comment. I can put my shoes on, but I'm not in the morning. Sometimes I tell my children that I can put my shoes on this morning, but we don't know if we will take them off. Who will take them off? We're not promised that we'll even make it through the day. And then that 20 people per hour. And that's not counting the old people that die of old age. That's just strictly accidental death. Things that the you and I people can be. Would qualify for, so to speak. 20 people every hour swept to eternity, and then whereas the blink of an eye, they'll meet Jesus. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Going on as 7-9 there, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You see, the counsel of the wise was to go and buy for yourselves. We see that very quickly, those foolish ones, they tried to gather something from the wise, from those that were being saved, and it reminded me of is there something that we're hanging on to? Is there something that, my mind went to being able to, we'll never inherit something. As a young person, it's not the household that you're growing up in. It's not the church that we are part of. There's just a lot of things that we can hang on to give us a little bit of comfort. And I'm not saying this is that there's anything like that amongst us, but it's just the tendency of man. But it's each one of us, each individual person will stand before Jesus alone on that great day. 10-12, I need to hurry here, I'm not going to read through there, but we see here there was no time to go get ready. So again, the importance of being prepared when we die, or when Jesus appears, it will be forever too late to change anything. And I was there was, and then on 13 it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." And the song that we sang, there's the door was left ajar for me, and that door is still open, and there was several of those lines there. I won't take the time to read it, but it was just special that the opportunity is all before us today. And I was thinking of the message, the salvation of God that we heard about in Isaiah last week, and there was so much that door stands open today yet. Praise the Lord as we continue to strive to enter in. I'm gonna bring this to close here. I'll maybe read. There's Luke 21:34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And I think we would all acknowledge, for the most part, that we have cares in this. There's cares that we have in this life as we go through our day-to-day things. But in verse 34 there it says to take heed that these cares are not overcharging, that they're not being overcharged in our hearts. I took that as taken over, that the cares of this life are not taken over in our hearts. And God help us, because we can so easily, those things want to move in. And then I'll just close with these words, and Paul's final words, or some final words from Paul in 2 Peter 3:14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, so according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." And then verse 17, it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." And then in 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Let's close with that.